Our passage this morning can be found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Last week, we began our study now of Romans chapter 11 by considering the question, hath God cast away his people? Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 11. And how did the Apostle Paul answer that rhetorical question? Well, he answered it with a resounding, God forbid. He then proved his point by using first his own testimony, verse 1. And then he used the testimony that God gave to Elijah, that he had over 7,000 set aside, a remnant. Verses 2 through 6. And then we noted the testament of the prophets in verses 7 through 10, that God in the past and now in the present has a remnant, look at verse 5, a remnant according to the election of grace. Well, having proved Israel's fall from grace was not entire. In other words, there are some Israelites who have been saved and are being saved even right now, the Apostle Paul now sets forth to prove that their fall was not eternal. Beginning now here in verse 11 of Romans 11, the Apostle Paul will now put forth another rhetorical question. Look at it. Have they stumbled that they should fall, meaning never to get back up? And it's a question to which he again answers, God forbid. Now, this is Paul's 10th and last time that he uses this very strong negative in this letter, the book of Romans. Now, before we consider his arguments as to why Israel's fall from grace was not forever, I want us to look a little bit more closely at the question. Have they stumbled that they should fall? They. That's a reference to the Jewish nation in general. But more specifically to those who, because of their rejection of the Lord and his word, God had blinded. Verse 7. God had given to them a spirit of slumber in that they had eyes, but wait a minute, they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. That was verses 8. 9 and 10. Question, had they stumbled, had they tripped, had they fallen down, never ever to get up? That's the meaning of that phrase, that they should fall. Fall, never ever to get up. The fact that they had rejected Jesus Christ and him as Savior, for the most part, generally that's what the Jews had done, were they never ever to be included in God's redemptive plan? Had those in the nation of Israel, those who had been blinded by the Lord as a result of their stiff-neckedness and their unbelief, had they been cast away forever? Was their spiritual blindness irreversible? Were they, for the generations to come, eternally damned to the dark abyss? Well, Paul answers here, God forbid. When they had done this, we have noted that God has always had a remnant. Has God now excluded even the remnant from his election? Well, notice, first of all, we're going to look at Paul's exhortation concerning Israel that they had not stumbled, that they should fall. That is, never to get back up. Verses 11 and 12. Let's take a look at that. Verses 11 and 12. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? God had two purposes in giving to them the spirit of slumber. One was that more Gentiles were to be saved. And the second was that he would use the salvation of the Gentiles to create a greater desire in the hearts of the Jews to return to the Lord and him only. So through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. This is the first statement that he makes. In verse 11, we read, through their, that's the Jewish nation, fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. The Jews' loss became the Gentiles' gain. In John, Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11, we read these words. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This morning we read concerning the Gentile centurion and how God blessed him with faith. In Matthew 8, let me read those two verses again. Matthew 10 through 12 says this, verily, Jesus says, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, reference to the Gentiles, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on, he says this, but the kingdom, that's the Jews, they shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. During Jesus' ministry, during Paul's ministry, most Jews rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. They rejected his works. They rejected his words. Most of them. And we see in the scriptures that more and more Gentiles were coming to a knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. This morning I had you meditate on Acts chapter 13, where we read that while the Jews, they were contradicting and blaspheming the word of God, the Gentiles, those who had been ordained to believe, were receiving the word with gladness. And by the way, this was no surprise to the Lord, but it was part of his divine plan, as evidenced by the prophetic utterances found in the Old Testament that this would come to pass. For example, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, when God extends his call to Abraham, here's what we read. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families, Gentiles, of the earth be blessed. God's call to Israel, listen to this, in Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now, wherefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God has extended his call not to Israel, but all to all nations. And then in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, listen to God's call to his servant, the shepherd and the king of Israel. Here's what he says. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. End of the earth. It's always been God's intention through Abraham, the nation of Israel, and particularly through Jesus Christ, to extend his grace and mercy unto the Gentiles. According to verse 11 in our passage, it's God's purpose to use these times when Israel has rejected her Savior to offer her Savior to the other nations. Look at your very first purpose today. I purpose to give thanks that because of the rebellion of the Jewish nation, God has extended to me his saving grace. Yes, even to me. But I want you to note here that in verse 11, it also declares it was God's purpose to use the salvation of the Gentiles as a means of provoking the nation of Israel to be jealous. Jealous of how God was blessing the Gentiles. And how was he blessing them? By drawing them unto himself, unto salvation. Now, the second part of verse 11 says this. Okay, yes, they've stumbled that they should fall, God forbid. But rather, first of all, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. But secondly, for to provoke them to jealousy. This phrase, to provoke them to jealousy, means to come alongside to stimulate. Now, in this case, it was to stimulate them to be saved. Look at verse 12. He says, now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Okay, so if their fall, talking about the Jews, the fall means nine times it's translated trespasses, five times offenses, three times sins, that's the idea of that word, if their fall, resulted in God pouring out his treasures, his riches, in offering salvation unto the Gentile world. And then secondly, and they're diminishing, talking about again the Jews, they're diminishing, their faults, their moral deterioration also resulted in God pouring out his riches in offering salvation unto the Gentiles. How much more their fullness? Paul is saying, look, if the Gentiles were blessed when Israel rejected her Messiah, how much more so will the Gentiles be blessed when Israel receives Jesus Christ as her Messiah? That's what he's saying. In the tribulation time, Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, we read of 12,000 Jews from each of the tribes, totaling up to 144,000, are going to be saved. But in that passage, we also read this. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands. It seems that these 144,000 Jews are going to be busy evangelizing the whole world. Yeah, he says, okay, yeah, you're being blessed right now when the Jews are rejecting Christ. How much more so are you going to be blessed when God is drawing all the Jews into the kingdom? Raising up 144,000 witnesses unto himself throughout the whole world. Look at your purpose. Man, I purpose to look forward. And I added this morning as I was going through this, and give praise to that time when the Jews will embrace Jesus Christ as their Messiah and the 144,000 will seek to evangelize the world. What a time. What an excitement. A time that you and I should just be thinking of and praising God for. Well, that brings us now to our second point. Not only by his exhortation, but now Paul's examples, he gives that Israel had not stumbled that they shouldn't fall. In other words, yeah, right now they're rejecting Christ, but that doesn't mean there wasn't coming a time when they were going to embrace Christ with their whole heart, soul, mind, and body. And the first example he gives is his own ministry. Look at verses 13, 14, and 15 here in our text, Romans 11. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, talking about the Jews, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The Apostle Paul now specifically addresses the Gentiles in the church and declaring that he was an apostle to them, all right? In Acts 9, verse 15, the Lord, he says to Ananias, he says, and by the way, Ananias is a little bit hesitant about going and witnessing to Saul, Paul. He says this, go thy way. Why? He's a chosen vessel for me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In Ephesians 3, 8, this is Paul's own testimony. Listen to what he says. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's his testimony. And we could illustrate it in Acts 28, verses 23 through 31. But Paul says right here in Romans chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, that he's ministering to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews that they might believe. And he didn't see this as an insignificant ministry. Look at that phrase, I magnify my office. I magnify my office. Though Paul was exceptionally thankful for his great calling unto the Gentiles, he never forgot his Jewish brethren, as evidenced by what we read back in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. They were always in his heart and on his mind. May I say to you, it should be every believer's desire through their lips and life to provoke those Jews who cross their path to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I had a golden opportunity as I witnessing the other day, and a young lady opened up. She was kind of a young girl, and she was kind of flustered about what to say. And a man came to the door, and he said, well, no, we wouldn't be interested. We're Jews. And I didn't answer him back. You know, do we have a perfect thing to share? Oh, we worship the King of the Jews on the Lord's Day. I mean, there's so many different things. And I purposed right then and there, I was going to be ready next time to have a phrase ready to say. And you should have a phrase ready to say to someone who says to you, we're Jewish. That ought to be a good springboard for you to remind them, wow. That's the we worship the King of the Jews. Look at your next purpose, please. You know what? I purpose to strive by my godly attitudes and actions to provoke unsaved Jews not only to recognize but to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And by the way, did you notice that verse 15 is very similar to verse 12? If they're casting away when they rejected the Messiah, resulted in God reconciling the world, what is it going to be like when the nation of Israel receives her Messiah? There's going to be spiritual life instead of spiritual death. Have they stumbled that they should fall? The answer is, God forbid. Paul now gives us two examples to further prove that God has not cast off the nation of Israel for good. And we have the example of the first fruit and the root, both of them being holy. Look at verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, we could go back to Numbers chapter 15, verses 17 through 21, and we could discover that when Israel was to come into the promised land, they were to offer a heave offering unto the Lord of their produce that they had raised. And this produce could come in the form of a heave offering, all right? And because it was the first fruits were to be offered unto the Lord, it was sanctified as being holy because of who it's being offered to. Paul argues that because the first fruits were holy, this necessitates that the lump from which it was taken must also be holy. You know, if I have a loaf of bread and I take off a piece and that's holy unto the Lord, well, that from that which it came is also holy. It's all holy. And this is what he's saying. What made it holy was to whom it was given. Now, one of the things that we learn in the Bible is that when you and I tithe and give of our monies, it is giving the first fruits, our first fruits, unto the Lord. And it's a reminder to you and I that everything belongs to the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we give. It's a reminder. Everything that we have is God's. So look at your purpose. I purpose to give my first fruits unto the Lord. How? As a reminder that all that I have comes from the Lord. But notice in this verse, he also says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, what made it holy was that from who and what it came. The principle Paul is making is that the first fruit, the root of Israel, is holy. Now, that might be a reference to Abraham. And if it is, then the branches would be a reference to the spiritual descendants of Abraham. So if, you know, the root, Abraham, is holy, then that which comes forth is spiritual. The spiritual aspects of Abraham are also holy. Just as God foreknew, predestined, called Abraham to be saved, so likewise he foreknew, predestined, and called the spiritual descendants of Abraham to be saved. And that's throughout all generations. Therefore, we've all come in the same lump. That's what makes us holy. Look at verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. He says, notice, some and not all of the branches were broken off. In this verse, some of the branches, it's a reference to the physical, probably the physical descendants of Abraham, and not so much the spiritual descendants. If the physical descendants were broken off, and listen to this, Romans 9, 6 and 7 says this, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because are they the seed of Abraham, are they all children. It's only his spiritual children who are saved. But the physical children, not all physical children of Abraham were included. So if these physical children were broken off because they did not believe, there was no faith, and at that time, the Gentiles were going to be grafted in. John chapter 15, 6 says this. Jesus, if a man abide not me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, those Jews who are only physical descendants of Abraham and not spiritual descendants, they were broken off. Why were they broken off? Because of their unbelief, they were not producing any what? Fruit. They weren't producing any fruit. Paul says the Gentiles, and by the way, he likens them to what? A wild olive tree. They were grafted in. So those Gentiles, who God blessed with the faith to believe, they became part of the root of that great olive tree. Therefore, look at your purpose. Wow. I purpose to rejoice that God has grafted me into his spiritual family through faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to note the caution he now gives to these Gentiles to whom he's writing. He says this in verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul warns, and he says this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. Here in verse 18, he says, boast not against the branches. No doubt Paul had heard and seen firsthand the arrogance and the pride of some of these professing Gentile believers who acted out against Jewish unbelievers. And he reminds them that they were indebted to Israel and not vice versa. That's what he's saying here. The root Abraham bore them, verse 18. And they were grafted in, verse 19. And why were some of the Jews broken off, verse 20? Because of unbelief. And why were some of the Gentiles grafted in? Verse 20, because of faith. And what does Paul teach us about faith in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Look at your two purposes here. You know what? I purpose to remind myself from whence I have come and by whom I have come to be saved. Not of you. It's a gift of God. Next purpose. I purpose not to speak with pride and arrogancy towards unbelieving Jews. Now, I could have said to that Jewish man yesterday, well, sir, you're just blind. You've got eyes, but you can't see. You've got ears, but you can't hear. But I got eyes to see, and I have ears to hear. La-di-da. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. Oh, I could have acted like that. And what happens about those who are proudful? What comes before the fall? Pride, yeah, okay. So Paul says, instead of being high-minded, arrogant, one should fear. And by the way, who should they fear? How about God? Look at verse 21. He says, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Man, if God spared not his natural, the nation Israel, because of their unbelief, how much more so will he not spare the nations of the people who make up his church if they apostatize from the faith? Now think about it. Of the organized, let's just talk about organized church of today. What percent do you think they become high-minded, not trusting in Christ work on the cross, but trusting in their own works, and therefore they no longer have a healthy fear of God, but they perceive that they're saved by their works. Well, I mean, what percentage of the religions of today would fall in that position? 10%? 60%? 80%? 90%? Listen to Paul's warning to the church here at Rome. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Behold, therefore, okay, therefore, based on what I just said, behold the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. What do we here at Grace Bible Church desire from the Lord? What do you personally desire from the Lord? You got two options, right? Do you desire God's goodness, kindness, or do you desire his severity? And the severity here means to be cut off. One must continue in God's goodness. That is, one must persevere in the faith. Just as the severity of God will be poured out on the Jews and Gentiles alike, those who do not believe, so will God's goodness be poured out on the Jews and the Gentiles who believe. Look at verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. They're turning back, aren't they? For God is able to graft them in again. Oh, we see how that's possible, don't we? For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now they, it's a reference to the Jews, who now believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They're going to be grafted in. They're going to be saved. Why? For God is able. Verse 23. Faith is a gift from God. God can and will sovereignly choose to extend his faith, saving faith to the Jews. He is going to draw them in like herds of sheep and goats and cattle. He's going to draw them to himself. He is able. He can and he will once again graft them, he says, into the olive tree. Now pay attention to what he's saying here. Look, if God can save someone as wild by nature as us Gentiles, certainly he can once again graft in his own Jewish people, the natural branches. It's a piece of cake for God. So let's answer this question. Have they stumbled that they should fall? That is, are the Jews, I mean, look, for the most part, they today are rejecting Christ as their Messiah. I mean, is that the end of the story for the Jews? Is it all over? God forbid. God is able. And he will, in the days to come, reach out and by his power impart faith and repentance to the Jewish nation, drawing them unto himself. And how's he going to do that? Oh, he's going to do that by aspect of giving them faith, giving them repentance. But he's going to use great persecution. And we've talked about suffering. How one of the purposes of suffering is God's purpose of drawing us back to him. When we begin to stray, one of the instruments that God uses is persecution. We've been studying in Sunday school about the persecution, the tribulation days. We were looking at that. And the great tribulation we were at this morning, really, I mean, all the nations, they are coming from the north. They're coming from the south. They're all moving in. And the heart of Satan was to completely and totally destroy the Jews. But God's going to step in. As we read right here, God is able. He's able. And this is what you've got to be mindful of. You go out and say, well, man, he's a Jew. That's a tough people to deal with. Well, be frank. But here's what you know. If God has chosen them, elected them, predestined them to be saved, what's going to happen? You're going to get saved. And he might use you to do it. So I'm encouraging you, don't be fearful of witnessing to Jews. Because God is able to graft them back in. Last two purposes, and we'll close for today. You know what? I'm going to purpose to pray for and practice persevering in the faith. I mean, that's one of the things you see here. We need to pray for it. God, just help me to persevere in the faith and practice persevering in the faith. Because there's a blessing. There's a blessing for those who persevere. And then finally, you know what? I purpose to use this passage to demonstrate for others how God shows goodness to those who believe and how God shows severity to those who do not believe. And it does give us a clear presentation of, it's, you know, the choice is ours. Do you want the goodness of God or do you want the severity of God? It's your choice. What will you choose? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that in this time you are, for the most part, grafting in us Gentiles, and for this we give you thanks and praise. But Lord, we do not in any way this morning want to boast or take on a spirit of arrogancy towards those who are right now not receiving you. But Father, we would instead humbly appeal to them to trust and believe, to believe and confess, to confess and believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Help us, Lord, to be able to present that clear message to any and all Jews and Gentiles alike that you'd bring across our path. Knowing, Lord, knowing this, that you are able. Help us not to forget that. That God, you are able to graft them in again. We thank you, we praise you for this good news today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.